Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this Friday worldwide transmission. Got 5 minutes left with Max Kaiser. Invaluable information, MaxKaiser.com. You know, as we're having him on a lot more, we're very thankful for him coming on. You can find out about his TV and radio shows at MaxKaiser.com. Be sure and support the alternative truthful media. Doesn't mean he has all the answers or I have all the answers. Doesn't mean we're infallible, nothing close to it. But we're trying to get to the truth. And Max has really proven he's got his pulse for being a former insider on where things are going. And this conversation's freaking me out. I live here, too. And I see all the preparations. And I wish we weren't right. It's just somehow we got to turn this around and try to educate as many military and police. Because the globalists plan on having a civil war in this country that they trigger instead of having us come together and fixing the system. And, you know, I've grown up. I'm older. I'm not that old. But I just, when I was 20, you know, I was a little more, we'll just have a war. Now, I mean, I didn't want it then either. But now I've lived enough to know what a bad idea that is. Even though we'll totally crush the globalist forces, that's part of the plan. And then the real globalists just set offshore. Max Kaiser's our guest, so be sure and spread the word about all the work we're doing here because it is so cutting edge, to use that cliche. John in Indiana, you're on the air with our guest, Max Kaiser.
Yeah. Hey, Max, Alex, good to talk to you guys. You always enjoy listening to Max and you too, Alex. Just kind of wanted to tell you a little bit going on here. I'm about 2 hours outside of Chicago. Close to a little place called Gary, Indiana. I don't know if you guys know about it, but it's a cesspit, basically, just rampant crime. But what they're doing here is they're opening up several churches in and around the area to confiscate guns. So you can bring your guns in and basically get a $15-$25 Walmart gift card. So, and this just happened Wednesday. I just heard it on the radio here. A local radio station was just broadcasting it here. Yeah, like I said, a couple days ago. So.
Give us your take on that, Max.
Well, Walmart is the company store on the plantation. You know, every dollar you save at Walmart, you destroy $1.50 in wages. If you shop at Walmart, you're putting yourself into a wageless prison environment. It's as simple as that.
Same thing with Target, though. They're all the same.
Yeah, okay. But Walmart is the biggest employer.
It wrote the book, but it's now even being slave-marted out worse by Amazon.
Possibly. But in other words, the retailing environment.
Race to the bottom.
Yeah, it's okay, the race to the bottom. I mean, if you want to segue into a discussion about guns, I mean, that's a different discussion.
Yeah, but I mean, I was interrupting. Give us, in closing, your take on what's happening to retail.
Well, no, it's the race to the bottom. You know, I was trying to come up with a good metaphor for this this transition to this total collapse state. And you know, you see it in nature all the time, Alex. You know, the transition in these system dynamics when there's a shift. You know, when you have water, for example, retains a lot of heat, and then suddenly it only takes 1 degree to go from water to vapor. Okay, that's a phase shift. And that's what I'm talking about. The heat, the water, the system is heating up.
Yes.
The system's breakdown. And once we get that one final degree shift in complexity and outrage, you have a phase shift from water to steam. And steam, compared to water, is extremely, unstable.
Yes.
And that's the society that we're heading for in 2013, something extremely unstable.
So when you say collapse, you mean lots of instability, crazy stuff going on. And the globalists know this shift's happening, so they want to flip it like judo and take all that rage and use it for them to take over. But you're saying you don't see things going well for them, or will they stay in control?
They've got all this. I think they're in good shape, Alex.
We're going to have you back up very soon. Thank you so much, Max. I want to see where you think all this is going. Max Kaiser's been our guest. We got in-studio guests straight ahead. A guy that tried to make a political prisoner for his speech. Stay with us. Alex Jones here with a very important announcement for truth seekers. You've carried a lot of amazing films and books over the years on the online video bookstore at Infowars.com. And out of all the titles we've carried, one stands out because it is just so chillingly convincing. And that's Dreams from My Real Father by Joel Gilbert, available at Infowars.com. This film exposes the fraud that Obama is like nothing I've seen. If you want to know who Obama's real daddy is, this is the film for you. Don't forget, your purchase supports our broadcast and our growing media network. You'll also find at InfoWarsShop.com, None Dare Call a Conspiracy by Gary Allen, the book that woke me up. We're also carrying Behind the Green Mask, UN Agenda 21, by Rosa Corey. This book is coffin nails to the globalist takeover. The Greater Good, the most professional and up-to-date film I've ever seen, exposing the scourge that is vaccines. These titles and a lot more are all available at InfoWarsShop.com.
Your natural, organic, herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, it completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest Corn Belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we've all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is, you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food cost. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
You know, I should have hyped this up better, but our listeners know that we tend to be all bite and no bark, as they say. We've had a lot of amazing guests in the last few days. We just had Max Keiser on yesterday. We had Richard Belzer along with Christopher Walken. And Dave Mustaine with an exclusive response to the big national story. So I'm really proud of the InfoWars radio slash TV show. And I'm also very proud of my crew and the great work they're doing and the sponsors, the AM and FM affiliates, XM166, everybody, our sponsors. We couldn't do this without you, and it also shows that liberty is popular. Now, I knew this because I'd followed the trial, and I think once even, maybe even trying to call me to show as a guest, but who knows. I didn't even really realize until I was sitting in here with Joe Bannister, who we had on earlier in the week via phone, who, of course, I've been interviewing now for about 14 years or so, or 13 years. What's this, about 99, right? So I was saying it's about 13 years. He is here in studio with us, and Robert G. Bernhoft is also here in studio with us. He was Wesley Snipes' lawyer who got him off on all of the felonies with the IRS. And when they arrested Joe Bannister for his thought crimes a few years ago, Mr. Bernhoft was able to get I don't want to say get him off because he didn't do anything, but the point is it's hard to beat the criminal IRS. And I'm very excited. I didn't know this. I knew that you were, I guess, in the Midwest, or what was it, Milwaukee?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Alex, yeah.
Yeah, so now you've moved to Austin, Texas. So I was saying during the break, if I ever need a good lawyer, thank God you're here. I should be groveling because, I mean, it's hard to find good lawyers. But just amazing to have both of you here in studio, Robert G. Bernhoft. And, again, the website is bernhoftlaw.com, BERNHOFTlaw.com, and Joe Bannister, agentfortruth.com. So, gentlemen, I don't know where to start. Where should we start here today?
Well, first of all, we came down to Austin. My firm did because that's where all the troublemakers are, and we figured this is a good place to be. And that's partly true, but we're really liking it here in Austin. Great people, a lot of energy, and, of course, this show is here, so we're having fun.
Yeah, now that you're here in town, look out. Well, you're our legal expert. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
In fact, I wanted to get you on the TV show tonight, so hopefully next time you're both in town, come back, because I forgot I'm shooting for a documentary film today, a film crew's here. So we've got to work it out somehow to get that done. Okay, I'm excited. I'm going to shut up. Tell us about your take on the IRS, the big scandals coming out, all the rest of the corruption. It seems like the veil is lifting, that we really do have a corporate mafia in control that exempts itself from the fraudulent laws that they put in place.
Yeah, I think that's right, Alex. And one of the hot topics in academic commentators, the federal judiciary, and defense practitioners is government misconduct after former Senator Ted Stevens and the subornation of perjury, falsification of evidence, and the scandal about that. What I'm seeing now is a cascade of investigative and prosecutorial misconduct that's infecting the courts. The difference now over the past 4 or 5 years is that it's being exposed to some extent. We will never know what sort of investigative or prosecutorial misconduct lay behind Joe's investigation and prosecution because we did not get all the discovery we were entitled to. But I remember getting the call from Joe after the arrest, and that was a traumatic time, I know, for him and his family, and we were able to jump in and help him. We were grateful to be able to do it.
Let's go through that case before Wesley Snipes, because, I mean, you're just winning and winning and winning in a system where it's almost impossible to win. Tommy Crier, God bless him, died this year. He was able to defeat them. When you can get a jury trial, I mean, is that how you're able to do this, actually exposing the fraud?
Absolutely. The last bastion of freedom, the interposition between government power and the executive and the citizens like Joe, is the jury. Now, there's unfortunately, the quality of the jurors that we're seeing in jury pools, it's a function of American culture. We have a lot of people that watch too much TV, that listen to government propaganda. It's very difficult to get free-thinking, individualist-type people on juries. So one of the things that you have to do is pay attention to your jury selection. Joe's jury, we like diversity on our juries. And, I'll be candid about this. For example, the African-American community has a different perspective of the system than white America does generally. They've had an experience with the system. They're suspicious of system standards.
Not as naive.
That's a great way to put it. And they're more inclined to think and listen carefully to what otherwise other Americans might shut out. You know, how could it be that the government who wears the white hats indicts a good guy? Well, you know, the government comes into court with the white hats on. Joe's supposed to have the black hat on. And our trial theme was, no, they indicted the good guy. And so we tried to switch the hats. And that's a tough concept for most Americans. But thank God we still have jury trials in all of our criminal cases. And unanimity is required. It's got to be 12 unanimous jurors giving a unanimous verdict. And that's your last chance. That's your last chance to defend yourself. The other thing that's going on, of course, is it's an exemplar of despotic systems that they use their judicial process to single out and punish dissenters. That's always been the case throughout world history, but it's a real shame and it's a disgrace that the American federal criminal judicial process increasingly is being used as a forum to target and punish principal dissenters. And so that's the state of the American judicial process today.
Well, it's scary. It's like you say, Joe. Hey, I'm not saying don't pay them, even though it's all a fraud. They'll break your legs. I mean, they'll worse than that. They'll put you in prison for 20 years and take everything you got. I'd rather have my legs broken than that 10 times. I mean, this is vicious what you went through. I know most of our listeners are aware of your story, but look at what happened to, you know, just the guest I had on the other day, the IRS.
Sure. Hey,
yep, Sherry Peel Jackson. I mean, she did nothing wrong. And for her speech, look at Irwin Schiff in prison for a book in America.
Book burning. Book burning is alive in America. We don't burn them anymore. We issue injunctions against their publication and dissemination. And that's what the court issued against Schiff prior to the criminal trial. The court enjoined Schiff from printing and publishing his book upon pain of contempt. I mean, it's interesting that even the Library Association of America came out in support of Schiff on that point. And it's also interesting that in an age where court decisions have said that free speech covers books on how to stalk, torture, and kill people, how to identify and groom children for sexual abuse, and that's free speech. You know, that stuff's out there. That's okay. But God forbid someone like Erwin Schiff wants to print his thoughts and research conclusions about the scope and nature of the tax. That's something you burn the book.
Well, I mean, he found the key to it and proved all their fraud after decades of research, and they said, you're going to a dungeon.
Yeah, and the other types of speech that, I'm libertarian, but nevertheless, some of that speech is abhorrent. First Amendment covers that, but it doesn't cover Erwin.
Yeah, you have to protect the abhorrent stuff or we lose our good stuff.
That's right. You know, there was a famous Supreme Court justice that made a really great profound comment. We tolerate the speech we hate because someday our speech might be hated. So I'm good with that. I'm a libertarian. I believe in the principles of this country. But what we're having now is selective identification of speech that the state deems subversive, harmful, or dangerous. Back in the old days, frankly, we used to talk about our founders and the Middle Ages and then 1600s, 1700s, and there was torture going on in terms of criminal punishment. And now we're so much more civilized. And I don't think that's the case. In fact,
no, they just make it more sophisticated and more covers.
That's
there's
right.
More velvet gloves.
That's right.
What were we going to say? Interrupted.
No, it has a perception of being more civilized. But in fact, if you were a heretic before in the colonies, and you said something that was they considered blasphemous, they put you in the stock for a day, a little public humiliation, and then they, you know, repatriated you to your family and to your home. They had to live in a community. And today we're much more civilized. We try and put people like Joe Bannister in federal prison for 15, 16 years.
And they're now grabbing people I've seen that have protested the famous doctor case, what's Shell, up in Missouri, where he's been in there for 15 years now, forced drugged. They never having a trial, but he's in prison drugged for Medicare, Medicaid fraud, they claimed. I mean, now they drug you or electroshock you because of your views. That's like the old Soviet Union.
It's barbaric. It's absolutely barbaric. And when you take a look at the U.S. sentencing guidelines, which determines sentencing ranges, and we take a look at the so-called white-collar guidelines, particularly regarding tax, and you have people that, you know, failed to pay a little bit of tax on a couple years of income, and the sentencing ranges can be 5 to 10 years in federal prison. Everything is upside down. You can beat, you can be out of a state prison in California on a murder one charge, 6.9 years, something like that. You know, but if you run afoul of the IRS, look forward to a double-digit sentence. And this is systematic. This is not, this isn't accidental. This is absolute intentional policy that's being passed by Congress, enforced by its agency, the Internal Revenue Service.
This guy ought to have a radio show. No wonder he's winning with all these juries. Hey, wow, amazing. Again, we have Joe Bannister and Robert G. Bernhoff, his incredible lawyer. You got to go to bernhofflaw.com because I've followed your cases, and then I'm running around here with 20 things happening, and you guys are here. And then it kind of reclicks. You know, Joe goes, you know, he's the guy that's won all these other cases, too. And I'm just realizing how rare that is. Yeah. Why have you been so successful when very few others have? And we're going to skip this break because it's so important, guys. Go ahead.
Yeah, the conviction rate generally is around about body temperature in federal criminal trials, 95, 96%, take your statistic. The way we approach these cases is, first of all, we have aggressive motion practice to get the discovery that our clients are entitled to. And there's various rules in cases. So we're very aggressive about getting discovery. And the devil's in the details, and the government's thematics, and sometimes investigative misconduct lurks in the discovery. And then we prepare. It's about preparation, mastery of information, and it's also having an understanding of human nature. You know, this is an age where we want to change human nature. We don't want to acknowledge it. We acknowledge the functions of human nature, how it plays out. And, you know, court trials are theater dramatics where the stakes are very, very high. You have to understand what makes people tick. When you pick a jury, you have to look at those people as individuals, ask them a few questions. And they will tell you things about themselves without even realizing it. So jury selection, and Joe assisted me at counsel table with jury selection in his trial. And you have to have good people instincts, and you have to be aggressive, and you have to know the law. But picking a jury is crucially important, as it was in Joe's case.
And you're right. It is theater. People say, why do they do a year or 14-month million-dollar investigation of Amish selling cheese and milk to their neighbors. Turns out the neighbors have moved in and demand they sell them their milk and cheese that their community's eating so they could take it across state lines and sell it to make it a federal case. Then they SWAT team them and get them down on the ground when they're a known nonviolent sect for 400 years. And all of this goes on. People say, why do they do that? So they can show an ignorant jury who doesn't know what Amish are, doesn't know the history of anything, like, look, they're bad. We wouldn't have SWAT teamed them. And all of it is just dress-up theater.
Absolutely. Increasingly, you know, especially in tax cases, especially in non-filing, and I'm not afraid to say it, tax protester cases. I mean, I did a case in Boston a few months ago, and they were completing building the Tea Party Museum right there in sight of the courthouse. And so we took the government's epithet, its defamatory epithet, and we said, no, we'll accept that. That's right. My clients are principal tax protesters. And they're protesting taxation without explanation. Wrote letters to the IRS, asked for the code section that made them liable, no answers. And we reached that jury on a pretty good level. So it is drama, and increasingly these prosecutions are done by misleading the jury about things they don't know about, can't be expected to know, misleading the jury about tax law, about how accounting is done. And in Joe's case, of course, it's just the drumbeat that this guy's dangerous. If you don't convict this guy, he's going to get to the children.
But if we rediscover 1776, common sense says the government's dangerous.
Absolutely. We were very aggressive in Joe's trial. My co-counsel, Jeff Dickstein, did an incredible job. And he put to the jury, which side is the con on? Which side is the con on? They charged Joe Bannister with conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
Wasn't that right? Conspiracy. And we put it to the jury. You cannot win these cases by half measures. You can't go in there with soft themes.
I agree. People say wake up America being nice. No, I never calculated anything. I'm aggressive like a bull in a china shop. Absolutely. That's what gets results, the truth.
That's right. And you have to break through the barriers of people from seeing the truth. And you look at Joe's case again. I mean, he was.
Did you go with this angle, too? I mean, because I follow the trial, some of the news, but was so busy, mm-hmm. You know, was just following it in the paper and talking to Joe some on the phone. But I, you know, don't have a little inside stuff. But I would have made the point. He was moving up. He had a career. He had everything. He just did this to warn people of the truth. Why would he lose everything? They're the liars.
That is a really interesting point, because the government's playbook in criminal tax is greed. You know, he chose to play, and then they point to the jury, well, you chose to pay. They create class economic envy and responsibility envy. They tried to trot that theme out in Joe's case.
Closing argument, especially.
Closing argument. Joe.
But you lost everything.
Yeah, he put everything on the line, and yet the greed was the function, the factor. It was extraordinary. It wasn't plausible, and the jury didn't buy it.
Did you tell the story how he set out to disprove the tax protesters?
Absolutely. There was tons of great testimony and evidence. And, of course, Joe, being a man of integrity, had former colleagues that were videotaped in a deposition talking about what a great special agent he was. The integrity, the discipline, the work ethic. So it was a tough go for the government.
And that was their evidence when it blew up in their face.
That's right. They put the evidence of
I find that more and more. They'll stand up a huge room of like 500 Marines, officers, and say, you will not watch Alex Jones. You will give people demerits and write them up. And we'll kick them out if they watch it three times. And then all of them go watch it and then tell everybody to watch. So the whole military's watching, because for 10 years they tell them don't watch it. I mean, the system is so disconnected from reality, they seem to be their own worst enemy. Have you found that?
They are alienated from where America is really at. They are disconnected. They believe their own fantasies and the things they want everybody else to believe, and they just assume people believe that. But when you've got Joe standing up there with the New York Times investigative reporter and a Pulitzer Prize winner, and he's asking questions and taking notes, and Joe is expressing some views and beliefs that he has. The government thought this was sedition of the first order. This is subversive. And the jury looked at him and said, well, gosh, he's thoughtful. He's speaking his mind. I mean, that's a crime. And the government's theory was, in fact, that was a crime. That was a conspiracy to defraud the United States.
And your motto nails it. There's a war on for your mind. There's a war on for the juror's mind. Because all that propaganda and all that conditioning all throughout their lives, the government just wants that to stick long enough to convict the defendant.
People like you.
But when you have somebody that can communicate your innocence, it snaps them out of that.
Let me ask you this. Going through the fire, but also getting to defend people like Joe, because I've noticed you only take cases where it's really clear that, you know, the government's totally in the wrong there. and still that's an uphill battle. How good does it feel to actually find a niche in this increasingly corrupt world where you do get to go, do good work?
Well, I tell people all the time, I am an extraordinarily lucky individual because we actually make a difference once in a while. And even moving more transcendently from helping Joe out and his family and avoiding 15, 16 years in federal prison, that would be gratifying. But we do get to make a difference on a larger scale. That's a blessing in today's world. You don't get to do that very often. We take it very seriously. It's humbling. I'll tell you one thing, before the jury came back with the verdict in Joe's case, and I kind of leaned over to him and I said, look, you know, I don't know where this is going. We've got a pretty good feeling, but win, lose, or draw, when that jury verdict comes in, you know, we're going to be even keel. Don't let them do it to it. We're going to walk out of this courtroom one way or the other with your head held up high. You're entitled to that. They can't take that away from you. If it's a victory, we'll celebrate outside, you know. And that was one of the most emotional moments of my life when that jury verdict was returned. That was
the special agent that investigated me. I want Bob to tell you what he said to Bob upon my acquittal.
Yeah, I came over to, I think it was Special Agent Breslin. It was Howard and Breslin. I went over to Special Agent Breslin, and he had tears running down his face. And he looked at me, and he said, thank you, counselor, for taking care of our boy Joe. And I was just...
Because there they are pretty much even having to testify against him. Imagine the guilt they were going through.
Yeah.
Because when you do evil things, it comes back on you.
That's right. And it was a political prosecution, political persecution. Everybody knew that. And those special agents that used to work with Joe, they knew he was a man of integrity. They knew he didn't have any intent to commit any crime. And so for
that, he didn't want to commit a crime carrying out the IRS stuff.
That's right. So he has a crisis of conscience. But knowing who Joe was, and that was unexpected. I did not expect that. To get a handshake and a congratulations counselor from one of the lead special agents, one of Joe's former colleagues.
Very exciting story. What about Wesley Snipes? We've had so many famous trials, and you got him, to not go to prison for all the fake stuff.
Yeah, that was a really tough case because, we were in Ocala, Florida. Everybody thought that he couldn't get a fair trial down there. It was going to be an all-white jury, and it was an all-white jury. But I picked that jury, and I liked that jury. I thought I picked some really thoughtful people down there. And the problem with representing a high-profile celebrity is the fact of their high profile. Everything changes. It becomes surreal. There's an entourage. There was massive media down there, and everything gets distorted. So we actually had to try that case outside the courtroom as well as inside. That's the big difference between a non-celebrity.
Yeah, so many small-time lawyers who aren't, super professional like yourself, they don't get, they're always, don't talk to the media. And I'm like, no, it's a media war.
Oh.
The prosecutors, they know that.
They're out there giving their press releases. Prosecution issued a press release that Wesley Snipes was a fugitive. And he was in Namibia shooting Gallo Walker, if I'm not mistaken. They don't have an extradition treaty at all with the United States. Wesley could have stayed in Namibia for a good long time. But his attorneys were negotiating with the government his surrender. So out there in the media and the jurors here, this potential jurors here, he fled. He's a fugitive. He won't come back. That's evidence of guilt.
That shows that fraud. I mean, they're saying he's a criminal. He's run when he hadn't.
We had to fight that. You have to go out to the media and dispel the misinformation and propaganda to get yourself back to a level playing field. And if you don't do that, you lose. And you lose bad. And Wesley goes to prison for 16 years.
Well, I have a view of the law, not that I'm a lawyer, but I studied it a bit, that even if somebody's guilty, if the system cheats, the danger of the system cheating is more dangerous than a guilty person not going to jail.
Well, there's no question about that. And that's why the discovery violations and the cascading misconduct into federal courts particularly is crucially important to stop and remedy. An exceptional event occurred. Judge Richard Tallman, a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals judge after the Stevens case, issued an open letter to Attorney General Holder. Really an unprecedented event when a judge speaks to the executive branch at such a high level, and it's a public letter. And he says, look, paraphrasing, look, Mr. Holder.
On the march, the empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
For more than 6 years, I've talked on the air about creating a social network. PlanetInfoWars.com is in its beta phase. We're just launching it. And I want to invite all of you out there to be in on the ground level. Planet InfoWars is about people coming together, forming activist organizations, getting involved politically, hunting and fishing, gardening, dating. This is a place for people who love freedom to meet and to talk and to write and to post information. And I give you this pledge. We are not going to spy on you and sell your data to the New World Order. PlanetInfoWars.com is free, so people who love freedom can get together. Connect with people who are awake and know what we're facing. Be active. Organize. Take action. Go viral. Create. Contribute. Resist. Because resistance is victory. You are victory. It's waiting for you to breathe power into it. PlanetInfoWars.com.
Let's keep preparedness simple. Do you need stuff for disasters? Of course you do. For over 15 years, DisasterStuff.com has, well, stuff for disasters. See? Easy to remember. DisasterStuff.com. Want free shipping on a new Berkey water filter? DisasterStuff.com is the official Berkey in-stock shipping center. Lots of folks want an EMP Faraday bag to protect sensitive electronics during a solar or nuclear event. Now for a limited time, all survival gear purchases over $75 include a free 8x8-inch EMP Faraday bag. Just enter promo code EMPBAG when you check out at DisasterStuff.com. We're also a Country Living Grain Mill authorized dealer. Plus, we offer freeze-dried foods by Alpine Air and Wise Foods. We also carry emergency kits, survival seeds, and much more. Preparedness should be simple, and it is. Just remember, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about. The websites to check out are agentfortruth.com. That's Joe Bannister's. And there's Robert or Bob G. Bernhoff's website, bernhofflaw.com. And I can tell you, if I ever have the collection agency for the Private Federal Reserve come after me, I know who I'm going to get right over here. I hope I can get him. You were telling me that I was saying, boy, I bet killing is their business and business is good for them. I bet you trying to save people, I bet your business is just booming.
You know, it is, and it's a bit of a mental torture because business is business, and in making a living, there's nothing to apologize for making a living.
But it's grueling, too.
It is. It takes its toll, and you deal with a lot of human road meat, the grist mill of the government. They grind people up, spit them out, don't look back. And it's particularly in trials where you have convictions, those are extraordinarily difficult. You get to know people very well over a 2-3 year period, and if there's not a good outcome at trial, you don't sleep very well for a very, very long time. I remember the good ones, and there have been plenty of those.
Because it's like a fight, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
And if you lose as a man, you really feel like you lost.
Oh, yeah. I disappear for several weeks after any trial, win, lose, or draw. I just got to disappear for a while and get my head together. You know, we use sort of symbolism of combat. It is. I I called up the government in case the other day. I said, boys, you all ready to sheathe your swords and stop the bloodletting? And they were kind of shocked by that, and they kind of paused for 10 or 15 minutes. And I mean, but that's what it is. Trials are combat. And I tell my clients, some of them really want to charge forward to trial, and there's too much machismo going on. And I say, look, a couple of things I want to mention. Number one, there's going to be blood everywhere, and we're going to measure the victors by the buckets of blood. That's reality at trials. And secondly, I always get to go home after the trials. So you have to have a sense of humility.
It's better to win the war strategically by never getting to the battlefield.
Oh, no question. And, of course, we do a lot of representation that nobody sees, doesn't make the news, where we're helping people out of audits, collection, criminal investigations.
Just letting the IRS know, hey, go pick on somebody else.
Well, I think there is an element to that because, you know, we practice aggressively but collegially and professionally, and I think my counterparts in the government that are opposite me respect that. So, yeah, I think we do help our clients just by entering the fray and solving problems rather than just trial work. We do a ton of other stuff that nobody sees. But
Yeah, I've noticed that because I've got a really good lawyer here in town, and it just immediately gets people's attention. A lot of times, pretty big operation stuff comes up from time to time. Immediately, if you have a small lawyer, I mean, you know that, but for the audience, I'm just telling them that, yeah. That it really does matter.
Well, it does matter. And the other thing is that we're not, you know, increasingly a huge percentage of federal criminal indictments are resolved by plea agreement. And there's a huge coercion from the sentencing guidelines. I mean, you've got a businessman, he's indicted for tax. If he gets dinged with a felony count at trial, he does 7 to 8 years. Maybe the plea's 18 months, 24 months. So this has a hugely coercive effect to get pleas. Now, when we come to a case, we do trials. We're not afraid of trials, and we win a lot of our trials. So immediately, our government counterparts understand, okay, this isn't going to be a bagman plea case. This case could go to trial, and they start counting their cost and their risk. You know, what's the problem?
Yeah, they'd rather feed on a bunch of innocent old ladies, ruin their lives, grab wedding rings off their fingers, you know, just let them commit suicide, than actually go up against people that'll fight back.
Absolutely.
They operate like muggers.
Well, easy targets. Easy targets, when you have a predator type of system, that those predators will go after the easy targets because it's the path of least resistance. And
well, you know what you're talking about because I've just experienced this 17 years on air and getting out there and doing stuff in the, you know, up against these crooks, and that's how I see it. Some of them are Dudley Do-Rights, from my experience, who are stupid and are made fun of by the higher-ups. That's really how this works. But these are just criminals on the top that know exactly what they're doing, and I don't know how they sleep at night wrecking the families, doing the things they've done to people.
Yeah, you know, the rationalization, justification for putting people in prison for double digits over tax. By the way, we're the only country of the so-called civilized industrial nations that has criminal tax at all. Criminal tax is the exception. Now, Russia, former Soviet Union, Russia, North Korea, China, you know, it's a wonderful series of countries that have a criminal tax regime. That's not good company. We should not have criminal tax in the United States.
That's my next question for you, and Joe, pop in any time. You know, they grab the kids in Russia, the orphans, train them to be tax enforcers, and they beat you up as well. So I guess it's the only country worse than us. Well, I mean, you're the expert. Is Russia worse than the U.S.?
Yeah, well, the Russian tax police, that's a whole different world.
Really a mafia. I mean,
it is. But the fact is that civilized nations, truly civilized nations, do not criminalize something like tax. If you owe the government money, the government has plenty of mechanisms to get that money from you. But to put people in prison for owing tax liability or not filing the proper form.
North Korea, China, Russia, Nazi Germany, not good company.
Well, you know, that's the company we're in. And I argued with David K. Johnson from the New York Times about that. He was appalled by my idea that criminal tax demonstrated we were uncivilized. Well, it does. And I've argued with Nathan Hochman, former Assistant U.S. Attorney General Tax Division for the United States. He was appalled by that notion.
Let me ask you a question. I want to go back to the Wesley Snipes because we got cut off by a break, then we went off another direction. But finish up on this point. Is all the criminality and government coming out in triplicate and the fact that the IRS is giving out fake ID numbers and letting people steal and get fake returns, the illegals and all the rest of this, and then even blaming citizens when those get attached to Social Security numbers and using the fraud the IRS engaged in as a way to go grab citizens' bank accounts and things? I mean, is it making it easier for you to do your job as people begin to realize also that the ultra-rich basically have exempted themselves as well?
I think there is a general awareness. You know, and I'm not going to do an explicitly political thing. I like dissenters. I want more dissenters in America. I want more people that are going to rock the boat. So the Tea Party movement for me was a good thing because it showed that there could be a vibrant, robust political movement that wasn't party-centric. It doesn't matter whether I endorse what they believe or not. I like the communist workers. I like the socialist workers party. I want people that are going to rock the boat and diselect Democrats and Republicans. And I think there's a mood in the country of deepening suspicion. I think Congress's popularity is down around, and I'm not trying to disagree.
9%.
It's really low. These are huge problems. I mean, once you lose the consent of the governed, you don't have a legitimate.
You either go back to freedom or you go to North Korea.
Absolutely. And that's where we're treading. But I believe that there's an increasing awakening in Americans regarding suspicion of the system, suspicion of statements by government. And I think that's positive. I have hope, you know, I have hope that more Americans will recognize that these are political problems. They're not necessarily legal ones. We don't need more legislation. We need less. And they need to get out there and start voting for people who are going to be truly independent.
Well, I agree. Anybody that isn't in the cookie cutter mold is the way to go just because it shakes up the system. This type of tyranny depends on a very smooth road to get away, you know, with the crimes. Let me bring this up. I also see this endless demonization of defense attorneys by media, by culture. Oh, they're the scum. They're the trash. From my experience, everybody deserves a good defense because government is the big danger. It's what killed more people in history than anything else. 262 million in the last century. University of Hawaii did a study on democide. It's the big danger. And I have found that it's the political prosecutors, because there's good prosecutors too that will go to the wall to really get bad guys. But more and more, they just make deals and let them out. They want, I notice, these prosecutors to hammer down good people that are just trying to live their lives. And for me, that's why I thank God for the defense attorneys. And I see this move to try to demonize defense attorneys, quote, getting bad guys off. And letting it go to courts, boy, if they do that, they've already neutered the grand jury. All we're left with is the cartridge box.
Yeah, there's a lot of pandering going on from mainstream media about defense attorneys and evil defense attorneys. Seems to be a general program of defamation. The fact is that in the criminal defense realm, we're accountable in open court on the record more so than any of the civil attorneys are. They can play games with discovery and engage in litigation thuggery while we're always accountable on the record every 30 to 60 days for what we're doing and how we're doing it. My experience with the Federal Criminal Defense Bar is generally very positive. There's exceptions to that. And I notice you mentioned something, Alex, and I want to make a point about this. I know some really fine lawyers and fine men at U.S. Department of Justice Tax Division that I've been opposite in cases and local prosecutors who believe in what they're doing, who follow the rules, who don't violate the Constitution and laws of the United States respecting discovery to the defense. And really, one of the things that really bothers me is all of those good men and women that are actually inside the system and are behaving with integrity, they get stroked with all of this massive misconduct.
Well, that's the problem. The good people get out historically, and then the criminals create little armies that then expand and then take over.
Yes, when bad conduct is incentivized rather than disincentive, it does drive out the ethical and the good and the men and women that want to do a public service. Because there's bad guys out there. We live in a dangerous world. And I believe in law and order, even though I'm a libertarian, but I believe in law and order. And I'm an objective moralist.
That means law and order in the government first.
Absolutely. The government is the great teacher. We learn by them. And if the government breaks the rules and gets away with it with impunity, what does that teach the citizen?
Fish rots from the head.
Absolutely.
Some things roll downhill. Joe, you've been sitting here. This guy's amazing. Because I've seen him on TV before. I was sitting here looking. When I see this guy over television, he's impressive. I mean, we know why he's one of the best lawyers out there, I guess. How did you snag this guy? I guess you're a good guy, too.
Well, a month or two after I resigned from the IRS in 99, really right around the same time that you first interviewed me, I get a call from this Bob Bernhoff from Milwaukee. And, you know, I was like a deer caught in the headlights. I just wanted to make a living to support my family and leave the IRS behind. But people were calling me and wanting to get in contact with me. So that's when I first met Bob and had no idea the extent of the monster that was out there eating people up. And so it helped me to understand that. And then I became involved in it. And of course, that's what led to the IRS, you know, really taking a disliking to me after I left, because I was trying to get into that apparatus. Actually, I was not trying to get into the apparatus. People wanted me to come in and help the effort.
No, I know you were drug into it.
I didn't I had enough of the IRS, frankly. But
I remember at first I was trying to get you back on the radio and stuff, and you're like, I don't know right now. I might just be a CPA. I might blah, blah, blah. But no.
Well, you've been with me since the beginning, Alex. I mean, I was just, that was like March or
who was it? Was it Media Bypass you were first in?
Yeah.
Pat Shannon called me. That's right. If we need to get Pat Shannon back on. He was on my radio show talking about Oklahoma City being a staged event. And he said, hey, I'm doing a story on this, treasury agent who investigated things and woke things up. You ought to talk to him. And I said, okay, well, what's his number? And so I had gone out and interviewed you by the time his newspaper article or magazine article came out. Now that my memory gets refreshed, very exciting.
Yeah, that was the tax issue for 1999.
But you've now been through the fire, my friend.
Well, thanks to, unfortunately, you're not innocent until proven guilty. You need to find someone who can communicate your innocence. And I've just been blessed to have Mr. Bernhoft, Mr. Dick Stein, people that could communicate to the jury. No, the government really doesn't deserve that reputation for honesty and integrity that you think they have. Open up your mind and listen to look at the evidence. And that's what it took. And they acquitted me.
Mr. Bernhoft, let me ask you a question on this front. Can you bring in, let's say you were doing a trial right now of another, agent, a whistleblower, somebody like our guest here today. What could you bring in the fact that John Corzine was allowed to take billions of dollars and say he doesn't know where it went? And then now they admit he really did give it to another bank. I mean, could you bring up, hey, the big bankers, they get to keep billions, but he hasn't done anything and he's in trouble? Or no. Is that not admissible?
No, it's not. That stuff doesn't come in now. There's an old Supreme Court case that says that in closing argument, defense attorneys have to be given wings to soar. That's a great quote, and it's true. But you can only bring in testimony and evidence that's going to be relevant to the charges to either that tend to disprove them. We can bring in impeachment evidence against government witnesses, and we can certainly do that.
Could you say this same government lets John Corzine take billions that disappear, but then they want to send him to jail when he hasn't taken a single cent?
That can be done, and that can be done in closing argument. Closing argument in Joe's case was very, very aggressive. There was talk of jackbooted thugs and all sorts of interesting things. But, no, you can do that. The testimony and evidence is one thing, but closing argument, you can draw parallels. You can put it to the jury that they've got a decision to make, that there's a double standard operating here, and that the government is not behaving correctly towards your client, the defendant, who's in the block and stands to go to prison for 15, 16 years.
Finishing up with Wesley Snipes, we got a final segment. You guys can talk about whatever you'd like. I'm just in awe here, hearing all of this. You had gotten to the point of how they were trying to try the case in the media and claiming he'd run from justice. And I remember right away in the news, you guys went, this is propaganda. He was always intending to be here. Here he is.
Right. We had to, whatever jury was finally in that box in the courtroom, and I'll tell you something, Judge William Terrell Hodges was an excellent judge. He's very hard-nosed. But I tell you what, he was a great evidence man, a great evidence judge, and he gave us a fair trial. Now, we fought for that fair trial through motion practice, and there's a certain thing that happens between advocates and federal judges who preside over particularly criminal trials, and you either obtain a respect for each other or you don't. But nobody gets any respect in the federal criminal process by not being aggressive and advocating zealously for your client. But in the Snipes case, you've got to get people to reject that propaganda, the misinformation, and we consistently said, look, 12 people are going to be in that jury box, and they're the ones who are going to hear actual testimony and evidence, not rumor, not innuendo, not propaganda, and those are the themes that we beat. We drilled those themes, and we had to. I did a walk and talk with Steve Barrett, great reporter from Orlando, a TV station down there, and we pummeled back against this propaganda. If you don't do that, those jurors are going to go in there with absolute misinformation in their minds, and they won't pay attention to the actual truth, the actual testimony and evidence, and then you're in trouble. And that's when you lose, and that's when you get convicted. And that's what would have happened down there, no question about it. The other thing is, there were some discovery violations in the Snipes case. Those never became really public. We were really put to it by the prosecution team. They were revealing sometimes hundreds of pages of crucial documents the day after a particular trial day at 5:30, and we had to spend all night mastering that material so we could step up the next morning. It was a very, very difficult.
They were hoping you'd be lazy and go back to the hotel and get a scotch, but you'd have to stay up all night.
I tell you something, people have a misapprehension of how trials work. Once you go, we call it going into the trial hole. You go into the trial hole, you are off the grid. Nobody, you don't even know.
If you're a winner.
Absolutely. You've got to be prepared to get a couple of hours of sleep a night, take it seriously, and the work is extraordinary. Nobody sees that. That's all that work that goes behind the scenes. Joe can testify to that. How many nights?
And the defendant better jump in and paddle along.
That's another thing. People think high powered lawyers, because the media acts like they just show up in a helicopter and win because they're it's a real work.
And some of it's extremely tedious. You know, you got a case. The Sipes case had over 1 million pages of discovery documents. You don't master those documents, you're going to lose. And that's the sort of paging through page after page after page. I mean,
that's where the nuggets come from.
Yeah, I think you had, 58 boxes of discovery, a couple hundred thousand pages. So that's the sort of work that goes on behind the scenes. Trial success is a function of knowledge, skill, experience, but most importantly, mastery of the facts and the documents. If you're not willing to get dirty, roll up your sleeves with your team and your client like Joe, who helped us through his discovery, and drill down night after
night. Well, that sounds like life in general. I mean, the system counts on us just being lazy, buying the surface. We'll be right back. Final incredible segment with both our guests. I'm Alex Jones at InfoWars.com. Alex Jones here with a great way to beat the blackouts, get off the grid, and generate your own supply of electrical power. Folks, with what's been going on in this country, I don't have to tell you about the power grid and just how vulnerable it is. That's in the mainstream news every day. Millions of people have lost their power in the last few weeks because of dangerous storms and killer heat that's pushing the grid beyond its capacity. I've always said that every family needs to be ready for blackouts. And if you don't have a backup system in place, I've got a great opportunity for you. Right now, our good friends at Solutions from Science are offering huge savings on their best-selling Power Hub unit. In fact, I think it's the best deal I've ever seen them make. It's literally thousands of dollars in savings. Remember, these backup systems don't need gas because they're solar-powered. That means there's no dangerous fumes and no noise. InfoWars listeners can get all the details at beattheblackouts.com. That's beattheblackouts.com.
Hello, this is Ty Bollinger, author of the best-selling book, Cancer, Step Outside the Box. I want you to know some very important information. In 1985, President Ronald Reagan requested that Carnivora be sent directly to the White House at a time when only the president could obtain this world-class healer. Now, 27 years later, Carnivora capsules are used around the world to keep people healthy. Now you can protect yourself and your loved ones in this age of superbugs with 17 naturally occurring compounds that instinctively respond to abnormal cells only without harming a single normal cell. If you want to stay healthy, now's your chance to literally wake up your critical immune cells to attack harmful invaders that don't belong in your body. Call 1-866-VENUS-FLY or order from carnivora.com. That's carnivora.com. That's 1-866-836-8735, 1-866-VENUS-FLY, or visit carnivora.com. Protect your immune system. It's the only one you've got.
After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've witnessed that a lot of illness can be linked to toxins and deficiencies combined. Improving your liver function and restoring your cells' ability to detoxify is essential to achieving radiant health. Listen to the real-world results of Doug and his wife after taking One World Way.
My name is Doug Didero. For years, I had an ongoing rash with itching around my eyes. This was due to metal dust particles landing on my face in the workplace. After being on One World Way for 2 weeks, I began to have a severe rash and itching sensation around my eyes. This rash and itching lasted for 5 weeks and is now 100% gone. Additionally, without extra exercise, I've also increased my muscle size, and my wife has lost weight and gained a more attractive figure.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
There's a man going around taking names. And he decides who to free.
We're ending this segment, this interview, with a good song.
Won't be treated.
Johnny Cash, when the man comes around.
There'll be a golden ladder reaching down
when the man comes around. Robert G. Mernhoff, probably the most, I mean, I can't think of anybody more preeminent than you when it comes to tax stuff. Honored to have you. And I can't think of somebody more honorable and preeminent when it comes to standing up for what's right. They'll make a movie about your life. Joe Bannister, agentfortruth.com, agentfortruth.com. And again, Bernhoftlaw.com, BERNHOFTlaw.com. We'll make sure both these get linked up at Infowars.com today. And if you're a radio listener on XM or on our 100-plus stations, by tomorrow, we will have this up on YouTube for everybody, not just people watching at PrisonPlanet.tv. And so please get this video and get it out to everybody. That's a question I have for you, Robert. When does the man come to town? Because you know, earlier you said we're treading water between North Korea and liberty. We're going to choose one or the other. We're going to go back the other direction towards freedom, or we're going to go down the black hole. I mean, is the man going to come around? People are waking up, but the system is deciding to go with tyranny. How do you see this with your considerable gravitas? How do you see this ending? I mean, what's your gut tell you?
Wow. That's a heavy and loaded question. It's a great one. In my sphere, putting aside from politics, if we don't stem this epidemic of investigative and prosecutorial misconduct, we're in deep trouble. If our federal criminal process continues to be debauched by concealment and deceit, ethics violations, constitutional violations, it's over for the American Republic. I mean, we used to be sort of like the lighthouse on the hill, the example of great judicial systems. The whole world looked to the United States for our rules of evidence, of procedure, our process, our jury trials. We're losing that. We're becoming a laughingstock. Yeah, the great Americans, and look at, they can't even get a fair trial for a former sitting United States senator. If we don't stem it, if we don't...
Look at how they put that governor in jail in Alabama for no reason.
Yeah.
That was admitted a fraud.
Yeah. And the amazing thing about the former Senator Stevens prosecution, and there's thousands of these cases, that one gets all the publicity because he was a former U.S. senator, and that shifted the balance of power in the United States Senate. But when you think about the Stevens case, that was prosecuted by the highest level of Department of Justice in Washington, the Office of Public Integrity, OPR. They couldn't get that right. And they want to say that line AUSAs, assistant U.S. attorneys, really understand the discovery rules. This needs to stop. And responsible prosecutors are for changing the rules and disciplining prosecutors who do not follow the rules. Federal judges are getting sick and tired of
this. Well, what about when it comes out that we've got to do 5 minutes overdrive? You can do it just to finish up this little addendum we have, kind of like a, you know, that little extra, a reserve tank. What? How do they get away with this? Because more and more, it's just coming out that the sky's the limit. I think they're doing it on purpose, basically.
Well, the incentives are to win at all costs. And when you have an incentive to do that, people start breaking the rules. And then they start becoming rewarded for breaking the rules with conviction rates, promotions, and the things that they want. And then they recognize that they never get caught. And if they do get caught, they never get punished.
Well, you saw the case in Williamson County. It's a famous one where they knew the guy really didn't do it, but and they suppressed evidence and they tried to keep the guy in prison. I mean, how does somebody try to put in people who aren't even criminals? It's bad enough to set up an ex-con and send them away, but, well, they shouldn't have been out. But now it's just set up totally innocent people?
Yeah, you look at the prosecutor in the non-rape Duke lacrosse case, for example, which, of course, no rape occurred, and that was all politics by that prosecutor. He's the only prosecutor that's been meaningfully disciplined for massive government misconduct in a very, very long time. So what happens is, even if the judge makes what's called a judicial referral of a prosecutor to the Bar Association where that prosecutor has his license, the bars don't discipline the prosecutors.
Tell you what, back in 1 minute, a 5 minute overdrive. I've got to hear more about the lacrosse case. Stay.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com.